This podcast is brought to you by the Government Contracts Practice at Arnold & Porter, providing counsel and thought leadership to federal contractors, and the PubK Group, publisher of daily news and commentary for federal employees, contractors, and their counsel. Each year, the PubK Group convenes the top practitioners in government contracting to discuss the past year's most important and intriguing developments for federal contractors and their counsel. From January 24th through the 27th, our experts will engage in 12 in-depth discussions about contract requirements, litigation, legislation, and regulatory activity. For a preview of this year's annual review, join us now for a special edition of Bonafide Needs with your host, Arnold & Porter's Mike McGill, and his guest, PubK Group President Alan Shvatkin.
Hi, Alan. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here with you.
We're excited to team with PubK Law in this new podcast, and I am especially excited to have you as our inaugural guest. You've been a fixture on the federal procurement policy scene since I first got involved in the area in the mid-2000s, and I know firsthand you bring unique expertise and experience. It is great to have you. My primary goal for this episode is to preview PubK Law's annual review. We will be launching regular episodes of this podcast in earnest following the annual review. And the podcast will key off the annual review in a sense. The podcast will cover monthly developments of interest to the federal contracting and legal communities in a manner similar to the way the annual review covers developments over the last year. The type of issues that we will cover will be similar, from critical new procurement rules to notable protests and claims decisions to updates to Department of Defense cybersecurity requirements, to changes to the Small Business Administration's programs, to just name a few. Given this overlap, we figured it made good sense to preview the podcast and the annual review in parallel here. For our listeners who are not as familiar with PubK Law annual review, why don't we start with some table setting? What is PubK Law? We might touch on the background and the current state of the organization.
PubK Law is one of the family of newsletters that is published daily by the PubK Group. I'm pleased to be the president of PubK Group. The three newsletters that we have today, PubK Law, the largest and the oldest of the three, PubK Cyber, and PubK Compliance. And so we publish those every day. A fourth one, by the way, is in the works for 2022, but I'm not ready to announce that just yet. We curate the news. It's not just the what that's taking place, but we try to provide the so what. What's the meaning behind those court decisions or regulatory actions? We pick up on the good work done by Arnold & Porter and other law firms. So we'll carry the client alerts that they put out around relevant topics. And then we have an extensive library of material. Going back for all the court cases, all the GAO bid protests and others. So we've got a full reference library for subscribers. PubK is a subscriber-based newsletters, so there's a fee for that, but there's discounts available for group discounts and government discounts. So we encourage everybody to read it. As the introduction said, it's available for both lawyers and non-lawyers, government contractors, and those who follow this industry.
Great. Thanks, Alan. Now, turning to the annual review itself, can you explain what it is, how many years PubK Law has been doing it, and who is your intended audience?
This is the seventh annual edition of the annual review, and it is exactly what you talked about in your introduction, which is 12 panels that we're going to cover just about everything significant that's taken place in 2021 with respect to the laws, regulations, and government business relationships associated with federal contracting. So we'll cover a wide range of topics and issues. We have almost 20 hours worth of content, 43 different presenters, including two of your partners. Craig Holman's going to be presenting on the bid protest panel, and Paul Pompeo is going to be presenting on our cost pricing panel. So they're great participants, as has your firm with us all the way through. So we're excited to have that. The intended audience, again, you don't have to be a subscriber to the PubK newsletters to be an attendee. Registration is open to anybody and it's free. But we obviously want to encourage people to be a subscriber to the newsletters to get all of the information on a real-time basis rather than having to wait for a whole year to get the summaries.
Great. Thanks, Alan. And I'll quickly run through the schedule. This is available online, of course. It starts on Monday, January 24th at noon with the bid protest panel. At 2 p.m., it's the panel on investigations, disclosures, suspension, and debarment. And at 3 p.m., the panel on labor and employment. The next day, Tuesday, January 25th at noon, there's a panel on costs, pricing, and audits. At 2 o'clock that day, the panel on grants and cooperative agreements. And at 3 o'clock that day, the panel on cybersecurity and IT. Following day, Wednesday, January 26th, starting at noon, the panel on claims, disputes, and terminations. At 2 p.m., the panel on construction contracting. At 3 p.m., the panel on small business contracting. At 4 p.m., the panel on mergers and acquisitions. And then the final day, Thursday, January 27th, starting at noon, there's the panel on the FCA and the FCPA, fraud and enforcement. And then the last session, 2 p.m., statutes, regulations, executive orders, and policies. And so, Alan, we're not necessarily going to try and preview every session here, and we definitely are not going to preview everything that will be covered over the 4 days. As an aside for the podcast audience, I would note that the regular monthly podcast will provide in-depth coverage and analysis of substantive issues. Our purpose for this special episode, though, is to tease. So why don't we touch on some of the topics and issues that will be covered in the annual review? The subjects and topics that will be covered in some of the sessions are fairly self-explanatory and are focused. The audience probably has a good sense of what will be covered in the protest session, for instance. It's going to cover the general statistics on Government Accountability Office and U.S. Court of Federal Claims protests and trends and highlight key decisions that impact practitioners and companies, like the decisions fleshing out timeliness rules at the Court of Federal Claims. Likewise, I'm sure the session on cybersecurity will cover DOD's decision to change its announced CMMC plans and outline its version 2.0 for that program, and also cover the DOD cyber fraud initiative. But for some of the sessions, there are broader topics, and probably the most notable of those is the statute and regulations and executive orders session. So I think it would be helpful to provide a bit of a roadmap by flagging which session will be covering certain subjects and topics that are likely to be of interest to the audience. So I would expect the theme running through many, if not all, of the sessions will be the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the response to the pandemic on federal contracting. Could you preview for us some of the ways that critical issues related to the pandemic will be weaved into the annual review this year and which sessions will cover those issues?
Well, I'm happy to, Mike. And as you noted, particularly with respect to COVID, it probably come up in many, if not all of the panels. Maybe one or two, not likely, but two of the panels that we've got scheduled will clearly focus significant attention. One of them is our labor and employment panel. And on that panel, we're going to delve more specifically into some of the ongoing litigation issues, not only what happened in 2021 with the COVID rules affecting labor and policy, the current litigation up through and including the Supreme Court's oral arguments on two unrelated contract cases, the OSHA case and the CMS vaccination cases. And then we'll no doubt touch on the COVID issues in the statute and regs area, because there's a fair amount of not so much legislation as there is regulation governing that. And so I'm confident that both of those panels we'll highlight it, but others are going to touch on the direct impact in their sessions as well.
COVID-related issues seem to overshadow at times all other procurement policies and developments in 2021. But of course, there were myriad other significant developments that happened throughout the year. One burgeoning area that involves the greater integration of environmental policy into the federal procurement system. Environmental requirements are not foreign to procurement, as you know. I remember drafting comments on ENERGY STAR rulemaking probably about 15 years ago, But it does seem that we may be on the brink of a significant change where environmental policy and requirements are integrated to a much greater extent in the procurement system. I would expect a large portion of the audience will be interested in that area and what they need to know and to look out for. So for them, what sessions will be most relevant?
Well, we too recognize the significant impact of the Biden administration's efforts in the environmental area. We're going to have a special segment of our statute and regs focusing primarily on the environmental executive orders, try to pull them all together into one comprehensive instead of piecemealing it through various segments. But also in our labor and employment section, because a lot of the environmental requirements are going to touch on that. And I know that because it's going to affect the market in some ways to the good, in some ways not so good, our small business contracting panel is also going to touch on that, but probably not as deeply as that special focus that we're calling for, we're going to provide in that statute and regs panel on the last day.
A topic that has continued to receive considerable interest in our community relates to other transactions authority or OTAs or OTA agreements, which of course are government contracts that are neither procurement contracts nor traditional non-procurement agreements like grants and cooperative agreements, and that are intended to provide greater flexibility but come along with various restrictions. Do you expect the annual review this year to touch on developments affecting OTAs? And if so, which session or sessions are likely to be of most interest?
I do. This isn't the most significant policy issues, but it touches on a lot of areas. Our bid protest panel, the very first session that we're going to have on Monday, the 24th, will touch on that because the litigation and the protest around the scope of other transactions agreements, what can go to GAO and what cannot, what is the authority of the Court of Federal Claims and other courts to hear OTAs is certainly going to come up in that panel. We're also going to touch on it in the grants and cooperative agreements panel because many of the agencies are using those transactions, that type of agreement in lieu of grants and cooperative agreements. They're testing that out as well. Statute and regs might touch on this as well. There's not been a lot of litigation or legislation on it. And because it's not a procurement contract, we don't see the FAR rules or the agency acquisition supplements, but it no doubt touch on that as an important element of some of the oversight that the Congress has done through the National Defense Authorization Act. And I'm sure that in that statute segment of our statute and regs panel, we'll touch on the OTA legislation that's been enacted in the FY22 NDAA.
Another topic that seems to garner quite a bit of interest are sourcing rules, Buy American or Buy America rules, and other rules concerning where products and components can and cannot be sourced from. So for those interested in developments in that area, which sessions are likely to be of most interest?
Well, this is a broad area, but focusing on the Buy America rules, our construction panel that we're going to have on Wednesday is going to clearly touch on the Buy America rules and the impact on the construction on sourcing. Small business panel likely touch on that because some of the rules changed about the allocations between what the Trump administration wanted and how the Biden administration is seeking to implement that. And I suspect there'll be some conversation in the statute and regs panel as well, because we've got presidential executive orders and a number of preliminary rules coming out of the FAR Council on the implementation of Buy America and other trade agreement rules. So sourcing is an important one. We're not going to have the ability to pull that together in a single comprehensive panel, but I'm confident that at least several of our panels, the ones I mentioned, will be touching on that as well.
What about small businesses and the rules and developments that affect them, which of course don't or the effect of those rules are not limited to small businesses, but also affect large businesses? I can imagine that the small business contracting session will be of the most interest. What might companies expect from that session? And are there any other sessions that would be of particular interest to the small business community?
Well, you're absolutely right. The small business panel is going to touch on a number of developments here. Some of them are legislative changes about certifications, about teaming agreements and past performance, joint ventures. Our statute and regs will probably pick up on some of that because Congress loves to legislate in the area of small business. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't get it right. And then we'll see that in the regulations follow-up area as well. There's been a number of rules that were issued in 2021 governing small business performance, including particularly certifications. So we'll touch on that from a variety of different perspectives, but our cost of pricing panel, our cybersecurity panel, I know we're going to touch on the implications, if not the application of some of these rules for small businesses as well. The bottom line, I think, Mike, as you're getting a flavor from these questions even so far, for listeners of this podcast, you're going to find something you like in just about every one of these panels. So my recommendation is register and participate in all of them. You'll learn a lot and take away a lot as well.
An evergreen subject matter in our world relates to the issues surrounding rights in intellectual property that's developed or used in connection with government contracting. This was not a particularly momentous year in that area from my perspective. We're still waiting, as you know, Alan, for DOD to finalize its 2019 and 2020 rulemakings on rights in technical data and software, which certainly could be momentous once we see those. But with the caveat that IP may not be a primary focus this year, are there any sessions that are likely to be of particular interest for the IP inclined?
Well, you're right. We chose not to have a separate session on IP this year just because of the lack of rulemaking and significant cases. But there are still some worth talking about. And I'm pretty confident that the bid protest panel is going to pick up on things like the Raytheon decision from last year about the rights and data, and interesting twist about the jurisdiction of the Court of Federal Claims to hear IP cases. Also, the cost and pricing panel may touch on that as well. The federal agencies need to figure out a way on how to pay for the IP. Either the goal is to do that before deferred, if they have to deferred delivery rather than deferred ordering, but they still have to come up with the money for doing that. And so I'm not sure. I haven't seen the final slide deck from the cost and pricing panel, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it come up in that panel as well.
Thanks, Alan. As you're well aware, the president signed the National Defense Authorization Bill for 2021 into law on December 27th. I imagine at least a few of the speakers will be scrambling over the next couple weeks to incorporate the key aspects of the law into the annual review programming. While I appreciate that you do not yet know exactly what will be covered, could you highlight perhaps a few aspects of the NDAA that you expect will be touched on and the sessions in which those are likely to be discussed?
Well, sure. And you know, the NDAA, 61st year running for that enactment. And what we've seen over the 7 years that we've done this annual review is it always occupies a fair amount of attention. We're lucky this year that the law was passed, you know, a month before the annual review. Some years the NDAA has not been enacted in law before the end of the before the program takes place, so it makes it a particularly difficult challenge. But this year, if you look back at the NDAA, and I'm sure our statute and regs panel is going to focus on this as well, Congress has addressed issues like supply chain, like the cybersecurity issues and the cybersecurity maturity model certification that we touched on earlier. Lots of acquisition policy provisions in Title VIII, about 60 of them, some major, some minor, some good, some likely not so good, and a fair amount in cyber. So I've just sort of previewed not only what we're likely to see in the NDAA in the statute and regs, but the cyber and IT panel is clearly going to touch on the CMMC issues, including what's in the NDAA. We talked a little bit about supply chain and Buy America provisions in there. And then, of course, there's a number of changes in the small business policies. including certification of small business status for service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. So the small business panel's got a lot of provisions to sink their teeth into and out of the NDAA as well.
Great. I think that provides a good introduction and overview of the annual review. I can offer my own brief pitch to the audience. I watch at least a few sessions of the programming every year. I find it to be helpful to catch up on things that I may have missed, especially in areas that are somewhat peripheral to my primary practice. I should note that the sessions are not only relevant to lawyers and especially private lawyers. I know many of our clients, including some non-lawyers, find the sessions quite valuable. So we can wrap the preview there. But before I let you go, Alan, I would be remiss if I did not take the chance to get your views on 2022. The annual review, like our podcast, will touch on things coming down the pike, but primarily will be focused on concrete recent developments. Given your experience, I think you're well-positioned and probably just as well-positioned as anyone to offer an educated guess as to what to expect in the coming year. So perhaps you could offer two or three things that you expect or are looking for in 2022, say that the types of issues that will be the focus of the next annual review.
Well, thanks, Mike. And I've been at this for two centuries now, so I'm pretty lucky at being able to work on these things. So my four things that I think people ought to watch for. An increase in compliance. It's an area that it'll keep your practice going for some time, I'm sure. But the burden on contractors is getting more significant. More rules are shifting responsibility from the government to the contractor. And I think across a whole spectrum of issues, government contract compliance is going to continue to be a dominant theme in a lot of the federal procurement areas. We talked about climate and environmental issues. It's obviously a significant role and initiative of the Biden administration. Lots of regulations are going to come out, and from agencies, not just in the procurement world, but from the Environmental Protection Agency and others, the Council of Environmental Quality and Department of Agriculture on bio-based procurements, lots of things. So it'll be important to watch that one pretty holistically. And cybersecurity and ransomware, no doubt continue to draw attention, not just on the procurement regulations, but this is something that companies need to pay attention to, whether they're in the government procurement business or not. Finally, President Biden issued 77 executive orders in calendar year 2021, the most in the first year of a presidential term in at least the last five or six. They haven't gone back much beyond that. I would expect that given the congressional makeup and as we approach the mid-year elections in 2022 for the Congress, it'll be more difficult to get major legislation through. I look to see him issue a significant number of new executive orders, and that will engender, you know, more regulations, more policy, and more changes because the procurement process is one of the largest spends in the federal government. That's why it's so much fun. So even after all the years I've been working on it, it changes all the time. And that's why something like the annual review is so important. If you don't do anything else, it gives you that one opportunity in the year to catch up with everything that's taken place. It brings you up to date on where things are and gives you a good roadmap for what you need to worry about for 2022. So thanks for the opportunity to join you today. Look forward to future opportunities as well.
Great, thanks. And of course, if and when there are developments in those or other areas, we'll be covering them on this podcast here. And you, Alan, will be covering them on PubK, and including, I'm sure, in future annual reviews, as you said. So this has been great. Thanks for taking the time. We're looking forward to the annual review, and I'm sure we will have you on the podcast in the future, or I'm sure we're going to invite you onto the podcast in the future to help us hash out developments and really drill down on issues of interest to the federal procurement community.
Thank you, Mike.
Bonafide Needs is a joint production of and copyright Arnold & Porter and the PubK Group. It is produced by Mike McGill and Bill Olver. Music by Flash Fluharty via Shutterstock.